Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Putting out the garbage can be so frustrating. You go to put out the waste and you don't have a bag tag. Or you're lying in bed and suddenly the sound of screeching brakes from a garbage truck snaps you out of a deep sleep. You frantically rush to get the stuff out to the curb, and the entire time you're cursing under your breath that the truck came at 10 in the morning last week. And then there's those egg cartons, food container or paper product, blue or gray box. Just so you know, it's the gray box. After a number of delays, the Recycle Right program is about to go into full swing. We got our blue and gray boxes a year ago, giving us time to practice. Meanwhile, the county waste contractor was getting a new set of trucks to handle all of the sorting starting Monday. What does that mean for you? Here's Adam McHugh, the guy in charge of the recycling program, to explain. I'm so pleased to have with me today Adam McHugh, Manager of Environmental and Technical Services at Northumberland County. Adam, welcome to Consider This.
Well, thanks very much for having me.
Before anybody goes to put out garbage next Monday, there are some changes coming. Marks a significant shift in the county's waste collection system. Can you tell us what it is?
Yes. So come this Monday, we're asking all the residents in Northumberland County that get a roadside collection of recyclables from the county to place out all of their recyclables in the blue and the gray boxes that we delivered just over a year ago to our residents. So we're asking that all paper and paper-like materials go into the gray box, and all of your containers, so your water bottles, pop cans, jam jars, all go into the blue box for collection. Because come this Monday, we'll have a new contractor providing services, and that contractor will be collecting those two streams of recycling separately in that collection vehicle. We did roll out the program in phase one last year, where we gave everybody the blue and the gray box and said, please start using them and get familiar with how to sort your recyclables. But our existing contractor at the time was still collecting the blue and the gray box materials all in one compartment of the collection truck. So the new trucks allow us to have that material come into our recycling plant in two separate streams now. So it's really important that residents sort their recyclables and put the right materials in the right blue and gray boxes.
So when I'm putting out my garbage now, I'll have my green garbage bag with my tag on it that'll have my waste in it. And then this other part, the gray and the blue box, I understand it's called a two-stream recycling system. Is that, have I got the terminology right?
Yes, either dual stream or two-stream recycling. So before the county implemented this Recycle Right program that we're calling it now our two-stream recycling program, we had what was referred to, I guess, in the industry as a single-stream recycling program, where all of the recyclables were put into a clear bag and collected. But what we've found over the years is that as packaging has changed, it's become more and more difficult for us to sort a single-stream recyclable coming into our recycling plant in Grafton, because we're seeing a lot of things that people think are recyclable ending up in that clear bag. And also it makes that much more difficult for us to sort out the paper materials from the container materials. So now if they're coming in two different streams, we treat them as two different streams and sort them separately when they come into our facility. What you'll also do when you're putting out your waste, though, something else that we implemented last year, is there'll be a third stream you're going to be putting out, which is your green bin. And we hope that everybody has adopted and started using the green bin as well, because the green bin will definitely help you in the pocketbook, because you'll be able to divert a lot of your household garbage that was all your food waste that was historically going into your black bag or green bag of garbage should now be going into your green bin for free. So you should be buying less bag tags, hopefully, too.
But what would be some of the things that might be a little more confusing when we're trying to decide? Can you give us some direction around those things that we might not be as familiar with, that we need to be starting to be a little more conscientious about when we're sorting?
Yeah, so there are a couple of unique things, and a couple of the ones that really stick out is we're asking for residents to put containers into their blue box and all their paper and paper-like materials into their blue box. And one of the questions we're getting is, well, what about an egg carton? Because an egg carton is made of paper, but it acts like a container. So the egg carton actually goes into your paper stream. And we're also getting questions about pizza boxes and stuff like that. Because we are saying, you know, if it's a clean pizza box or clean takeaway paper material, that can go into the paper, into the gray box. But if it's saturated in greases and oils, got bits of cheese and vegetables and stuff still stuck onto that cardboard, then we're telling you, please put that in your green bin and we can have it composted. So don't put it in your bag of garbage. If it's clean cardboard, clean pizza box, it can go into the gray box. But if it's soiled, then we want it in the green bin.
I also noticed sometimes, yeah, though, envelopes will have the clear plastic that you can see through. What do I do with things like that, since it's kind of a mix of plastic and paper?
Well, actually, it's not. That's a bit of a misnomer. So the envelopes on the windows on envelopes are actually made from cellulose. So it's actually a paper derivative. So the envelope along with that plastic looking window can all go into the gray box. Another one that we get to is, again, is the milk cartons and juice cartons. Again, because they're made of a paper pulp, people are saying, well, should that go into my gray box? And the answer is no. It is a container, so we want that to go into the blue box. And we have tried to make sure that the high-frequency items are right on the outside of the blue and the gray boxes that we provided. We have kind of a list of what should go into those boxes on there. And we also put on our website a What Goes Where app about a year and a half ago. And we've had tremendous success with that. We've had over 100,000 views on that and over 27,000 different users. So we have about 40,000 households that we collect from in the county. So almost three quarters of those residents have gone on to our What Goes Where app to figure out where they should put something. So that's our first thing where we're saying, if you're really not sure, before you pick up the phone or send an email, go to the county's website and check the What Goes Where app, and it'll tell you where you should put it. If it should go in the garbage, it should go in your blue box, gray box, green bin, or whether or not you should be taking it to hazardous waste. If it's something that's a hazardous waste material, you should be disposing of it that way.
Now, to do all this must involve some new equipment, and you've alluded a little bit to this already, but maybe we could talk about it in a little more depth. So what new equipment have you had to purchase or lease in order to do this?
Yeah, so we contract out. So every about 8 years, we put out a tender for the collection of waste throughout the county. So we have a new contract that's starting next week. So the contractor has been required to purchase a fleet of vehicles. And like I said, in the old system where we had a single stream recycling and just garbage, the contractor just had one truck, and in half of the truck, they collected the bag recyclables, and the other half, they collected the garbage. Under the new regime that starts on Monday, the contractor will have one truck that is dedicated to collecting the recyclables. It'll have a split body on it, so half of the material will go into the paper side, and the other half, the container side, will go into the other half of the collection vehicle. And the contractor will have a different collection truck. It'll look very much the same. It'll be a split body truck as well. And that truck will collect the garbage in one half and the food waste in the other half. And then they'll also have a few trucks that they will use seasonally to collect all the leaf and yard waste throughout the county as well between April and December. So at the MRF, at a recycling plant, we're actually making it easier. So we are actually seeing a reduction in staff time and in effort to capture this material, because it's already coming in partially sorted. The papers are separate from the containers. So we haven't had to do any upgrades to equipment at our recycling plant. It's actually going to make our job easier. The plant right now is set up that it's supposed to sort single stream recyclable materials. But as I mentioned, with the advent of a lot more materials that are really not recyclable, stand-up pouches for juice and things like that, that people believe are recyclable, really aren't. We have a lot more contamination in the last number of years coming into the recycling plant in the clear bag program that we were doing. So, for example, what was coming into the plant over the last number of years, we were sending about 25% of what came into the plant to landfill because it was either not recyclable off the get-go or ended up being contaminated as it went through the process and went down the wrong chute. For example, if somebody threw in a half full juice carton and that got squished in the truck, then that would contaminate some paper products in there, make them too wet to be able to process. So that paper product that was contaminated would end up going to landfill. So now that we're keeping those materials separate, we expect that we will capture a lot more material. As opposed to having 25% go to landfill, we're expecting it's going to be 10% or significantly less. We know of some other MRFs in Ontario that do a similar two-stream recycling program that are down around 5% of what comes into the plant ends up going to landfill, and 95% ends up actually going to markets.
Is it costing us more for this system, or is it costing us less?
In the long run, it should be about the same. We did have an upfront cost to roll out the new green bin program and the blue and the gray box program. That was about a $1.5 million hit to provide those, to physically purchase those items, but then have them delivered to residents. But what we're anticipating is some significant savings in our processing side. So at the MRF, we expect that we're going to see $400,000 to $500,000 a year savings in operating costs there. What we have seen on the flip side, though, is the new collection contract. This year, our cost for collection is about $4.2 million. In next year, with the new contract in place, it's going to be about $5.3 million. So it's going to be a $1.1 million more expensive for that contract. But a lot of that is not so much to do with the added level of service, but it is that the historic price was based on a price from 10 years ago. And the cost of providing new collection trucks and inflation has gone up significantly since we let the last contract back in 2010. So that a lot of that cost increase is because of the cost of living increase and the new trucks. But there is also the fact that now they have to have additional trucks out on the road because we're collecting four streams of material versus two streams before we did these new programs.
So when do you see this leveling off and becoming advantageous then? What sort of a timeline are we looking at?
So we're expecting through the end of next year and into 2022 is when we should really start to see a significant reduction in the amount of material that's going to landfill. And that means that we'll be capturing a lot more material. For example, we were processing Northumberland County's recyclables. We were processing roughly 8,000 tons a year. And last year, about 2,000 tons of that went to landfill at a 10% residual rate. So if only 10% of that goes to landfill, then that means that we're capturing significantly more. We're capturing about 1,200 more tons of recyclables that we're able to then market. So we should be starting to generate more revenues to offset that cost and the collection cost contract.
That's interesting because when you look at the county budget, it talks about a $1 million waste diversion Ontario grant, but you don't see anything in the lines about how much it costs us for the things you just described and also how much we get back from selling this in terms of revenue. Can you give us some figures that might give us a picture of what's taking place?
Yeah, absolutely. So put it into perspective, one of the things we did notice, and I think a lot of people are aware of, a couple of years back, China and a lot of Asian countries decided that they were no longer going to be taking recyclables from North America. The vast majority of the recyclables that we captured through our recycling program here in Northumberland County weren't going overseas. They were marketed locally or they were being sent into the States. But what we've seen is with the lack in demand now for these materials, because a lot less people are wanting these materials, what we've seen is the price drop for the commodity. So while we're still selling all of our recyclables, we've seen that the revenue has dropped significantly. For example, in 2017, we had received about $2 million in revenue. And then compared to 2019, we were about $1.3 million in revenue. So we saw a $700,000 reduction in the revenue, even though we were processing the same amount of material and marketing the same amount of material. The funding you talk about, though, so stewards, the people that make packaging that has to be managed in the Ontario environment, stewards have to pay 50% of the net cost of the recycling programs for residential programs. So that's why you see in the county's budget, there's a $1 to $1.1 million line item. And that's the funding from the stewards, the people that generate recyclable materials like water bottles and pop cans, paying their portion of that overall cost to have that program run by the county.
how do I know that this is actually environmentally friendly and that everything is being used and being recycled properly?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. So none of the products that we generate at our recycling facility get given away, or we pay to have them go away. So every product that we generate, every bale of material that we sell, we sell for revenue. So we know that it's not going to somebody who is just going to landfill it or do something degradation to the environment, because they're actually having to purchase this from us. So like our aluminum, we're selling it for, you know, hundreds of dollars per ton for this material. So somebody's not going to purchase that material from us just to then have it go into landfill or, you know, sit on a beach somewhere. So because we're actually generating revenue for all this, we know that it's going somewhere. In some instances, some of that material from other jurisdictions or other places in the States may have been, you know, paid, where you would have said, you know, we have these recycled materials and we will pay you X dollars a ton to take it from us and then sort it and do whatever it is you need to do with it to market it. And I think sometimes that's where the fall down was, is that you were paying somebody. So there was somebody was willing to take this material from you because you were paying them to take it. Whereas we don't pay anybody to take our materials. They pay us.
Earlier on, you talked about ultimate targets for the recycling for the county. Where are we at right now in terms, you've mentioned a few numbers, and there was a lot of numbers can get confusing for listeners. So just, can we just go over it again, but a little more clearly, talk about the trends in terms of how we're doing as a county in terms of diversion, which I know is important to make space in the landfill. And also in terms of other numbers that might be significant to help people understand how well the system's working or not.
Yeah. Certainly. So I'll just kind of put it in. So in the grand scheme of things, county has an overall waste diversion goal. So the amount of material we want to keep from going to landfill, we want that to be around 75%. And that's what our long-term waste management master plan says. Right now, we're sitting at about a 42% waste diversion rate.
So we're going to have to double it.
Pretty much. Yes. Wow. So basically, as we sit right now, as I mentioned, so we receive about 7,900 tons of recyclables come into our MRF each year from Northumberland County, of which about 2,000 tons are going to landfill. But that means 5,900 tons of that are being sent out to marketplace and being diverted from landfill. In addition to the what I call like the blue box or the curbside recyclables, there's a number of other diversion programs that the county offers. And through those other diversion programs, we're diverting about another 7,800 tons of material from going into landfill. And those are things like leaf and yard waste program, our backyard composting, e-waste, household hazardous waste, styrofoam, tires, drywall, scrap metal. There's about 15 different things that we're diverting from landfill right now. And those all tally up, like I said, about 7,800 tons. So when we look at garbage in Northumberland County, we collected about 8,800 tons of garbage from residents who set it up for curbside. And then another 8,500 tons of garbage came into our community recycling centers from residents dropping off their waste. But when you add in the 2,000 tons of residual waste that comes from our recycling plant, the stuff that's not recyclable that we send to landfill, in total last year, we landfilled about 19,300 tons of material. And we diverted, between the Blue Box program and all the other diversion programs at our community recycling centers, we diverted about 13,700 tons. So that's where we get to about our 42% diversion rate right now. In 2020, we basically started the organic collection program. We actually started it in December of 2019, but we have a full year in 2020 coming our way. We're anticipating that the green bin program is going to divert anywhere between 2,500 and 3,500 tons of additional waste from landfill. So that's going to increase our diversion rate by another anywhere between 8 and 11%. The Recycle Right program, as I mentioned, if we reduce our residual rate at our MRF from 25% down to 10%, we should be capturing an additional 1,200 tons a year of blue box recycled materials that we're going to be now marketing. So that should increase our diversion rate by about another 3%. So we're anticipating at the end of 2021 that we should be sitting at between a 50 or a 55% diversion rate. So that still leaves us another 20 to 25% to go. So the next step after that will be implementing more diversion programs at our community recycling centers, diversion programs for things like mattresses, asphalt shingles, dimensional lumber. And then further down the road, if we're still seeing that we're not able to hit that 75% diversion rate, the next step we could look at is doing a clear bag program for garbage. So now that we've offered residents a program for putting their food waste out properly, how to divert the recyclables, we could now say, okay, as a resident, we want you to put your garbage out in a clear bag so that we can see if there are any recyclables in there or any food waste in there that really shouldn't be in that bag. And if we see recyclables or food waste in that garbage bag, then we can leave it behind and educate the resident about what to do with that. So that would kind of be the last step to kind of get to that 75% diversion rate down the road.
Okay, so help me out so that people can understand properly. When we talk about a ton, the ton that you talk about in these numbers, what would be an equivalent thing that would weigh so many tons? Maybe a car or a truck or?
Yeah, so a ton is 1,000 kilograms or 2,200 pounds. So when you take the average human, maybe like somebody my size, about 200 pounds, it's about 10 of me is 1 ton. Of waste or
10 of you. So if we look at 10 of us, and then we multiply that by the numbers we're talking about, a car usually is what, 1 or 2 tons for a car or a truck? Okay.
Yeah.
So we're talking about cars. Let's talk about cars. So when we're talking about how many cars worth of garbage are we putting into a landfill right now? Can you help us with that? Well, about approximately how many?
Yeah. So like I said, so last year, the residents of Northumberland County, we put in almost 20,000 tons. And we typically say the average, so 20,000 tons, if you're saying, you know, two tons of car, then that's 10,000 cars.
10,000 cars worth of garbage into a landfill. And we hope to divert, how many tons are we trying to divert?
So right now we're diverting about 13,700 tons. And we want to get that up to about, so overall we're about 33,000 tons, and we want 75% of that to be out of the landfill.
So we're talking about 6,000 cars, or maybe 12,000 cars that we're trying to get out. Is it something like that?
Yeah. So we're talking about 25,000 tons. So again, at about two cars per ton, you're talking like 12,000 cars a year that we want to kind of keep out of the landfill. Yeah. The average dump truck probably brings in is about, let's say 5 tons for a dump truck kind of thing, a dump truck load.
Yeah.
So again, you're talking like 5,000 dump truck loads a year of waste that we're trying to keep out of our landfill.
That's incredible. I'm sure you must hear a lot from people groaning about when they have to learn how to spend additional time sorting recycling. I mean, people don't like to do this. And in fact, when you talk about the future and the more plans, it involves more time and investment on our behalf. Now, there was a time when we didn't have to do any of this, and it was all done by the recycling plant in Grafton. Why is this so much a system so much better? And why should we be investing time? Why don't we just pay a little bit more and you guys do it at your end rather than putting the burden on us as residents?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And it really is about kind of doing the right thing for the environment as well as trying to save costs as well. So, you know, with the markets in China closing, what that's been able to do is make it so that those markets that are in Canada, United States, are able to basically take the best of the best materials. So they're being very picky on what materials they want. So they're looking for a bale of recycled material that comes out of our MRF to have, you know, less than 3% contamination. Whereas before they might've taken 5 or 10%. Now they want, you know, less than 3 or less than 1% contamination. And when you're having a material come into a recycling plant that is a mix of paper and containers and everything else and bits of garbage tossed in there too, it makes it very challenging to create a bale, a pure bale of say aluminum or water bottles that we can sell to the marketplace that meets what the market wants in the way of contamination and purity. So it's important to us to make sure that we're hitting those purity levels so that we can continue to market our materials. Because if you do send out a truckload of say water bottles, baled up water bottles, and you send it to the buyer and they do an inspection on that load and find out that what you sent them is not compliant or has too much contamination, then they will send it back. So you don't generate the revenue, plus you have the cost of having that material trucked back to you. And then you either have to reprocess the material or send it to landfill because you can't find a buyer for it. So from that perspective, it's important that we're doing that so that we're able to continue to market this. But as I mentioned before, what we're finding is that because we have so much contamination coming in or non-recyclables coming in a single stream program, that's causing a lot of recyclables that should be captured to end up going to landfill as well. We know that a majority of that 25% that's going to landfill isn't all stuff that is not recyclable. It's a lot of times it's stuff that can't be captured in our program because it's either been contaminated or it doesn't get captured in the right chute at the facility. So with it coming in pre-sorted already for us into containers and paper, we're going to be able to capture another 1,500 tons. So another 750 cars worth of recyclables at a recycling plant by having this material come in loose and the paper's already sorted from the container material as it comes into our facility. So it's going to save us time and effort and also make sure that there's a lot less material that's going into our landfill and actually is going where it should, which is to a marketplace where it's going to then be recycled into a new product.
Okay, that all sounds fantastic, but I can see somebody, maybe some of our listeners are sitting there going, you know, what's going to drive me? I get the altruistic aspect of it and trying to help out, but what are the things that maybe if I'm not so keen on all of this, what drives me?
Sure. Well, there definitely is the cost savings. There's the short-term cost savings because you're going to be, if you're taking this material and putting it in the right place and sorting it properly and it's not going into your garbage and you're putting it into your blue or gray box or you're diverting your green bin material, you're going to save first and foremost in your bag tag cost. You're not going to be buying as many bag tags. But the other cost, the longer term cost, is the cost of developing a new landfill or sending waste somewhere else. So the county, back in 1991, the county took over waste management. At that time, there was 9 landfills in the county that were active. Now we're down to 1. It's in Brighton. And that facility has about 10 years worth of capacity remaining in it. And every ton that we can keep out of that landfill extends the life of that landfill. And the cost and time to go through developing a new landfill or finding someone else that's going to take our waste is going to be much more expensive than the option that we have right now, which is just, you know, stretching our landfill as much as we can and keeping as much material that doesn't belong in there out of it so that capacity, maybe we can extend it by another 5 years before you have to look at building a multi-million dollar expansion to a landfill or building an energy from waste facility or paying larger contracts to ship our garbage to someplace else in Ontario. So there's the short-term savings of saving bag tags if you're doing the right thing. But the longer term is ultimately at some point we're going to have to figure out a long-term solution for what we're going to do with our garbage once our Brighton landfill is full. So the longer we can make it last, the better. And the longer we defer those larger costs.
Now, I know the recycling program has had a bit of a rough start. I know originally the phase one, which involved the distribution of the gray and blue boxes to hold the recycling, was supposed to start in September of 2019, and then it got delayed until December. And then it took a very long time before everyone got their boxes. And I know that some of the other timelines in the waste management master plan are not exactly hitting those. I know it's been a bit of a delay with the new trucks and stuff. What's going on there, and should we be concerned?
Yeah. So what the county did is early in 2019, we put out on the street a tender, a call for contractors to bid to provide a new collection service. And we were hoping that they would be able to do that starting in the fall of 2019. We heard back from a lot of the waste sector, the people that were going to bid on this, the contractors, and said, you know, we couldn't provide that service come the fall of 2019. Even though the county did say you didn't have to have brand new vehicles to start offering the service, they said that there weren't enough new vehicles, let alone used vehicles available in the marketplace to be able to start offering those services, the two-stream recycling and the green bin program, in the fall of 2019. So what we did is we said, fine, we extended the existing contract we had with our existing contractor for a year, which got us through till now. And we did ask residents to still use the blue and the gray boxes to sort their recyclables and put it out at curbside, sorted and loose. But we let them know that, unfortunately, for the next year, all that material is still going to go into one side of the truck and come to the recycling plant as a mixed single stream. That being said, we've seen some efficiencies already at a recycling plant. So we were sitting at around 22 or 23% of the material coming into the MRF was going to landfill before we gave everybody the blue and the gray boxes last year. In the first 6 months of this year, we noticed that just the efficiencies in processing the materials that are coming into the recycling plant loose versus in a bag, and a lot less contamination in there, that our residual rate has dropped from 22 or 23% down to 16%. And that's even without the recyclables being sorted into two streams coming into our plant. So there has been some of that. So we were able to implement and offer the food waste, the organic green bin program starting in last December. But we did have to postpone, I guess, the enforcement and the use of the blue and the gray boxes from what we were hoping would be last fall to this fall. So we had a year grace period. But, you know, hindsight being 2020, it probably wasn't a bad thing, because it's given residents a year to get familiar with how to sort this, to call us, ask questions, to listen to some of our outreach through Facebook Live, or to read more of our information and education to really understand what's required. Like I said, we just recently launched that about a year ago, that What Goes Where app, and we've had over 100,000 hits on that. So those are people who had questions about where they should be putting various materials and got those answers. So now I think we're set up for success come November 30th. We've given people a year to really understand what should be going in those blue and the gray boxes. And we're hoping that the vast majority of people get it and know what they should be doing. And we are going to be asking our contractor come early January to start actually enforcing. So when they do see that things aren't done properly, that they will be leaving behind and putting a sticker on, identifying what's wrong with the set out and making sure people correct that.
Obviously nothing is more frustrating than putting out your garbage, hearing the truck go by, and then you go out to get your bin and it's still there, or your bag of garbage is still there. How are you going to handle that so that people don't get disheartened or get frustrated with the system?
Yeah. So, like I said, we've tried to make it as user-friendly as possible. When we did roll out the program, we put a brochure in every box. So the blue box had a brochure as to what should go in that container. The gray box had a pamphlet. The green bin had a pamphlet as to what should go in there. And we've also got the information right on the outside of the boxes, what should go in the blue box and the gray box, so people know. And we're hoping that people know now where it should go. And if they don't, they can call us in advance and ask us. But yes, our contractor at some point will have to, in January, start, you know, leaving various materials behind so that residents are aware of what is wrong. Now, we have these things called stickers where we put it on and we're supposed to identify, our contractor is supposed to identify what is the problem with the set out, so that a resident knows why, you know, maybe their blue box got left behind because they had newspapers in it. So they would basically, you know, notify them what's wrong with the set out. And hopefully it's kind of a one-time thing. Like if you do get rejected, you educate yourself on why it wasn't collected, and then you're good from then on.
How do you handle concerns when people phone in?
Every situation is unique. I will definitely say that. So we try to work with the resident, try to understand. A lot of calls we've been receiving recently are more so about missed collection. We're trying to educate residents right now about the importance of having their materials set out by 7 a.m. because people almost set their watches, you know, by when the waste contractor comes by. But with the new contractor coming on board, they're going to be changing the route. So we have residents calling up and saying, you know, the contractor came by too early in the morning, and I didn't have my waste out. Normally they come by at 10 and they came by at 8 o'clock. So in these cases, we've been trying to educate them that, you know, you need to have it out by 7 a.m. In most cases, either our contractor is going back as a one-off, or we're sending our own county staff out to go and collect that material and talk with the resident and kind of explain why it is this is happening. Same happens when, you know, a resident calls in and says, my material was left behind. We try to troubleshoot it. Well, was it left behind because it was too heavy? We do have a limit. It can't weigh any more than 44 pounds. Did you have a bag tag on the bag? And if they say no, then we try to educate them that, you know, this is a program where you have to have a bag tag. Or if there was contamination in your recycling, well, what was that contamination? What did you have in there? So we can identify what it was and make sure for next time it's not in there. So
if you were to give some advice to people going forward next Monday, what would it be?
I guess my advice would be look on the outsides of your blue and your gray boxes. It tells you kind of what should go in there. When in doubt, go to the county's website under our waste and type in into the what goes where line to figure out, you know, if you're unsure about where the egg carton should go or the milk carton or where your pop bottle should go, type that in there. Or you can give us a call on our waste hotline. It's available on our website as well. Don't fret. If you've got any questions, we're quite happy to answer them for you. We've tried to make it as simple as possible. So please reach out. If you've got any concerns, we do want to hear from you. We have two people that are dedicated to answering the phones at our recycling plant, and they're well-versed and trained on how to basically help people get on board with our new program.
Adam McHugh, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today, and I wish you the best of luck with this launch.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
That was my conversation with Adam McHugh, Manager of Environmental and Technical Services for Northumberland County. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. While we are busy self-isolating, it's important to remember the world has not stopped entirely. If you know of a good story or have an idea for a story, please let me know. You can email me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com and include as much detail as possible, especially contact information. If you have any comments, questions, rants, or raves, you can also email me at that same address. Or you can go to my Facebook page, Consider This. Or if you're on Twitter, you can message me at rwash. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.